In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 176, apparently.
It is.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Intern.
I have some big news for you, Kevin.
Ooh.
What's the big news?
Well, I got a gigantic TV.
You got a new TV?
I got a new TV.
That's pretty good.
It's 75 inches.
75 inches.
It's big.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I've seen it.
You have almost 30 inches bigger than my TV.
Yeah, I started watching Force Awakens. It looks pretty good.
Yes, it does.
But I can't run 4K yet because I have to get a 4K box to run 4K cable.
Interesting.
Because I'm right now running HD, and HD looks amazing. So I wonder what 4K looks like.
Wouldn't that cost you more?
I don't know. I'm going to find out this week. But I got a 4K TV, so I'm buying a 4K box. Might as well go big or go home.
Yeah.
Also, to our listeners, we're going to record this straight through, and we're going to probably have a two-part episode. So I apologize, but I figure it's just better for the flow. I'm just going to let us go and not cut us off anymore.
The 176A?
And then 176 part 2, yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay for everybody? Does that work? Good?
Sure.
Okay. Calvin, man, I had a good time at the movies lately.
You have? Why?
I saw Moana.
You did? I have not seen Moana.
Well, I think you were supposed to. I think that was the deal.
I saw it too, also.
I have been sick for almost 2.5 weeks. I've been sick.
That's rough, man. That's rough.
I haven't seen a movie in the theater since Rogue One.
Oh.
Ooh.
I wanted to see it again, actually. Rogue One and Moana.
Yeah.
You've been too busy seeing something else, I think.
No, I don't think so.
We'll get into that later. So, Moana stars, directed by Ron Clements and Don Hall, starring the voices of Dwayne Johnson.
Good luck with this one.
Do you know how to say this name, Kevin? Aruli Cavarloho? That's not even close. Alan Tudyk, Rachel House, Jermaine Clement, and Oscar Knightley. Kevin, I love this movie.
I hear it's good.
I had fun.
You had fun too?
I had absolute fun. I saw it a Saturday morning, like 10 a.m. with a bunch of kids, and I think I had more fun than they did.
Nice.
Animation worked for me. I have the soundtrack. I sing it in my car all the time.
Excuse me?
I absolutely love this Disney thing.
You have your soundtrack in the car.
Yes.
You sound like me.
Well, I went and got, I liked
Although
it.
Although I was going to buy the soundtrack to sing, but, you know.
Well, that was a mistake, so...
No, it wouldn't. I like the songs.
So I thought the animation worked really well in this. I enjoyed the storylines. I just thought it was fun to listen to. I really can't. I mean, I thought Dwayne Johnson did a fantastic job,
yes,
which I wasn't expecting. I thought the female lead was fantastic. I thought it wrapped up perfectly. It was really good. I don't think it was as good as Frozen, but I enjoyed it. Huh?
Not as good as Frozen. Hmm. You know what? I'm going to have to agree with Simon. Not that this happens very often, but I went to see this by myself. I loved it. I had no problems with it. I thought the animation was great. The voices were great. I enjoyed it. I can't say much. I can't say much more than just that.
Cool.
Nothing else.
What did you like so much about it?
Why did you like so much about it?
I just said. I said I liked the animation. The scenery
is just a Hawaiian paradise.
Yes, but I liked it. I can't help it.
Oh no, it worked
and
out.
The fact that the actual island was a person, the goddess of whatever
nature.
Yes,
it just works, Calvin, as a movie. It actually
makes
sense.
There's not much more I can say to say I like
everything
it,
they do makes sense
yes.
in the film. They don't do anything silly.
I agree.
Like some
Even the grandmother did a good job.
The grandmother song was great.
Yes. She was funny.
It was good, yeah. It's got fun characters. I think you'll really like it.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Okay.
What?
Go ahead.
Based on your...
And we know the man that hates everything likes this one, so. Next up is Florence Foster Jenkins, directed by Stephen Frears, starring Meryl Streep, Hugh Grant, Simon Helberg, Rebecca Ferguson, and Stanley Townsend. Bob, you're up.
You know what? I had to watch this twice. The first time I couldn't stand it because I thought, okay, she picked the wrong, Meryl Streep picked the wrong movie. Dude, like, she's a good singer. But this one I'm going, I hate this. But then I was told, you missed something because, I Googled what she was about. Like, the actual person was the worst singer in the world. And for Meryl Streep to be able to do that, to be able to sing like her was like, she did a great job at what she was doing. So I watched it a second time after Googling what Florence Foster Jenkins was about. So I enjoyed it more the second time. I thought she did, the first time I just must have gone in like looking like, eh, I can't stand this.
But didn't you know what this film was about before you went
in? No, I actually didn't.
Okay.
When I first read about it, I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I watched it and I'm going, ew. But then I went back and Googled it, like I just said. But there's actually recordings in, Carnegie Hall of her singing. They kept them. They kept the recordings. So it's like a monument to her or something, a memory.
Calvin.
Her memory.
Think about the worst singer you can think of, and that's her. I mean, it's painful listening to her sing, like absolutely painful.
But that was the idea.
But the whole thing is, everybody, all her friends think it's great she's doing this.
It's because they're hiding it from her. Because she's.
And they don't want to tell her she's bad, and she thinks she's fabulous. Even her voice coach tells her she's fabulous. And what scares me is she can sell tickets. Like, people go to hear her sing badly.
But the only reason they went to see her is because of Hugh Grant's character, which was her manager, saying, and he wouldn't let people in that never heard her before. He didn't want one of the newspapers at the time the reporter report on her. And when someone started laughing at the singing, like, they got rid of her out of the concert. So Hugh Grant's character just did not want anything bad to be said about Florence Foster Jenkins.
Like, the day there was a bad review in the paper, so he went out and bought all the papers.
Yeah.
Just so she couldn't read it. I thought there was just wasn't enough to the movie. If that makes sense, like that's your whole premise is the movie, and you know it goes through the career and how she started and where it ended up, and I just didn't care. Like it was bad singing, obviously. I thought that
was on purpose by Meryl Streep.
I realized that,
yeah.
But I didn't see why this movie was made. It came to a point going, it was okay.
Part of the history.
But this is a history that needs to be told.
Not really, but it was.
Like Kevin sick. Do I need to see a 2-hour movie on Kevin being sick?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Do you see what I'm saying? I just went, eh. Well, I have a quick side note. Is Late Bloomers a new release?
Late Bloomers? Yeah. No, I think it's on Netflix.
Okay. I did watch it for you for the episode. A late entry. Next up, we have La La Land, directed by Damon Chazelle, starring Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, J.K. Simmons, Rosemary DeWitt, Kaylee Hernandez. I don't know who that is in the film.
Kaylee Hernandez.
I don't know who that plays. She,
you don't know who she is? Or
no,
you don't know who she
I don't.
Plays? She was in a movie last year at the film festival. I forget who it is.
Well, who is she in La La Land?
I forget.
Okay, Amini Khan.
You don't ask. You don't usually ask me who she plays. So.
Tom Edward Scott. Who did he play in the movie?
I have no idea.
And John Legend. I know who John Legend played.
Okay.
It was pretty evident. Yeah. John Legend. Okay, Bob. Well,
basically,
you're up. You saw this first of any of us.
Oh,
hated
yes.
it.
I saw this at the film festival. I hate. Well, not hated it. I had.
Oh no.
No.
You
no,
have.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No.
You have right
wait.
Now.
Oh, I didn't hate it. Ian was beside me. He hated it. There was another friend of his walked out of it. I didn't enjoy it as much. I enjoyed it a little better than Ian did, but I didn't enjoy it by that much. I'm sitting there going, Give me more. Give me more. It's missing something. By the time it was finished, I was sort of like, still wanting more. I was expecting more. I heard so much about it. Because it was the People's Choice winner at the film festival. So then I started hearing people like rave about it when it started coming out to theaters, and it's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really good. People have told me, like, this is your kind of movie. And I've had four people say, are you insane? Because, like, it was good. And I've had people, three friends of mine saying, maybe you weren't in the right frame of mind, maybe you were tired, or something. But I went to see it a second time just to see what I was missing. And I thought, okay, it's still... And then I had another comment after I saw it the second time saying, this is her type of movie, too. And she wanted more from it. I think that was my problem the first time. I was expecting more, because usually at the film festival, when they have People's Choice, it's one of the best films ever. And I'm like, no, this is not one of the best. Well, I didn't think at the time it was one of the best films ever. But when I saw it the second time, I enjoyed it more. I enjoyed the music, and the song sticks in your mind, City of Stars. For that reason alone, I liked it. But I started watching more of the performances by Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, and I sort of enjoyed that more. And by the time the end of the movie finished, I thought, okay, it has to move up. Because it was sitting at number 17 on my top movies of the year. By the time I finished, it moved up into the top 10. I mean, I enjoyed it more the second time, because I found different things to like about it. And I guess people were right, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind to be able to watch it at the film fest. But yeah, it is what it is, and I liked it the second time, so I'm giving it a thumbs up this time, the second time around. Simon,
are you ready for this, Calvin?
He hates it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Oh, God.
I love the opening number alone pulled me in when they had the big car dancing scene right at the beginning on the highway. I'm like, I'm in.
Dave H. hated that scene.
And then it goes from there, and I had a big problem with one shot. That's what I really wanted your opinion, but you haven't seen it. They go to a party early on in the movie. So
this was a pool?
Yes.
Okay.
The second dance number occurs at a pool, at a party. And to end the song, like, it's a beautiful, faraway shot. The cinematography is wonderfully lit. And they do a weird whip around. Like, somebody's in the water whipping the camera around. I don't know how they did it. It was awful. I was like, why the hell would you do that shot? Do you know what I mean? Like, something was spinning and passing out. Does that make sense? Or spinning so fast? And it really pulled me out of the movie there. I quite enjoyed when, oh my God, I'm blanking already, but the notes are in front of me. Ryan Gosling joins his band with John Legend. Yeah.
That was good.
You there, Kev?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to like it. They play it before, so I want to back up to the pool scene with Emma Stone. And they go, does anybody have any requests? He's in the 80s cover band, Ryan Gosling at this time. And they start playing Iran by Flock of Seagulls. And he goes, come on. The keyboardist hates Iran. But the film goes from there. It's basically just a love story. Like, I don't think you're seeing this film for the story in any way.
No, there's more to it than just the love story. There's like what Ryan Gosling has to go through in order to get what he wants. Like, he wanted to start his own club.
But he does in the end.
He does in the end, but he's still not satisfied, because by the end of it, you're sort of looking like he's not happy. Emma Stone's character was going, like, she's like depressed because she can't get the auditions and she fails at it. And by the end of the movie, she's really like, she's succeeded.
And so is he.
Yeah, they both what they want. They both got what they wanted. But I think he was still regretting, because, like, I don't know if they actually...
But they're not. We don't know if they're together.
I don't think they're together at the end. No.
At the end of the film, we don't know if they're together or not. But I think they are, because she goes to that film with her brother, isn't it? That's not her.
No, that's her husband.
That is her husband. Yeah. That's not really stated.
Oh, it was stated, all right.
Okay.
It sort of goes.
Well, that's forward. What then they show a kid.
Because she went to Paris, and I guess it's sometime between Paris and the time she gets back, she has a kid and a husband and all this. And I'm going, well, what happened to Ryan? And then it goes back to Ryan going, okay, he's left her, or she's left him, and
So make one with Kevin. Kevin, what do you think? Do you think they're both happy?
He hasn't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Well, they both achieved their dream. Like, Emma becomes an actress. Uh-huh. And he becomes a jazz musician, like, with his own club, but not together. But they both achieved their dream. I mean, are they supposed to be together at the end? I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters, and I don't... Because there was one scene which was repeated, one where they're driving, and they're stuck, and they go off on the side. And it was repeated with him, Ryan, and it was repeated with the husband. Well, actually, it was repeated with the husband first.
Metaphor, in general, that generally people don't... They have to make it there on your own terms?
Yes, they had to. They tried to make it work, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And I think they're happy for each other at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Because you see Emma daydreaming about him.
Yes.
Saying, because I think they're just happy doing
And at the end, it comes out like the Technicolors. So, like, they're all wearing white, and there's white, and I'm going, are they back together?
No, it's kind of a weird ending, but I love this film.
I do, too.
I want to hear the soundtrack. I really enjoyed the music.
Well, I already know one of the songs is City of Stars, and that caught me right at the second time. I'm going,
is that the opening number?
No, that's not the opening number.
That's the one they replaced.
That's the one he plays it. He goes, City of Stars. Actually,
oh, that's when they both sing at the piano.
No. That's where they're on the hilltop and they can see.
Oh, that's a great dance.
Yes.
That's a good dance number. Yes. I think that's the best dance number in the movie.
The first dance movie where they're doing with the cars.
I like it all. That's a great scene.
It is a scene. It is a good scene.
Because they pull back the camera and show you like 20 people dancing on cars.
Yes. Dave H. hated that. That's the only thing about the movie Dave H. hated. And he says, I like this movie. I'm going, you're out of your mind. You hate these movies.
I think Kevin would love this movie.
Yeah, Kevin would love it. Dave H. would hate it.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, he did like it because he says, oh, Jay liked it. I'm going, it's Jay. Have your own opinion.
Dave Hufflepuff or...
Whatever his name was. Sorry.
Huffington. That's it.
Harkness. We never said that name, though.
Okay, moving on. Kevin, you'll love La La Land.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Next up, go ahead, Kevin. Next up is Sing, directed by Gareth Jennings and Christopher... Lordelat. Starring the voices of Matthew McConaughey, Reese Witherspoon, Seth MacFarlane, John C. Reilly, Tyler Edgerton,
Taron
Egerton, Tori Kelly, Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Saunders, Jennifer Hudson, Nick Kroll, Garth Jennings. I don't know who that is.
Some of the directors.
Oh. I wonder which one he does. Nick Offerman, Leslie Jones, Rita Perlman, Lorraine Newman. I thought Lorraine Newman passed.
I think it's a different person.
How can be a different person?
Is it Lorraine Newman? I don't know.
Brad Morris and Tara Strong and many, many more. How did you miss this one, Kevin?
I don't know.
Because
it's 2.5 weeks. Million.
This would have been the perfect movie to have a nap during.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm during it right now.
Kevin, I went with another couple and their kids, and another person and their kids. So we had about 5 or 6 kids. This was painful, Kevin. Absolutely painful.
Oh, come on!
It was like American Idol for 5-year-olds.
No. By the end, you got to admit.
Are you interrupted?
Yes, I am.
Could I finish?
Well, I'd like you to. Yes.
Okay. When I'm done, you're more happy to speak.
I get interrupted all the time.
That's too bad.
Deal with it.
So, Kevin. It starts off, Matt McConaughey is like is an actor, has his own theater, and he has no money because he stinks at plays. So he tries to get a singing contest going.
He's not an actor, he's a theater impresario.
He's an actor.
Okay.
He would tell you he's an actor. He has a big painting on the wall showing he's an actor.
He has a big painting on the wall cutting of the ribbon when the theater opens.
Right, but he's an actor.
He's not an actor.
He is.
Watch it again.
No, thank you.
I did.
So.
I know what the guy is.
Okay, great. Whatever. He stinks at it. Whatever. All his plays suck.
His plays suck.
So he puts on this singing performance. So, I mean, you get to the point, you're just like, no, there's no story here other than the singing contest.
Yeah.
So they all sing catchy songs, so you like them, of course, right? And, I mean, the characters are quirky. Yeah, I got it. But they're not interesting. Other than Nick Kroll is the only character I found any interest.
I think he was the pig.
He's the dancing pig.
Yes.
Which is fascinating.
With the accent.
But I mean, Matthew McConaughey character puts me asleep. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Saunders' character I quite like. Giselle, or whatever that is.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly is just boring. And everybody else in the singing contest, none of them are all cookie cutter. They're all basic characters. There's no depth to anybody.
I like those. I like the song.
Except for the pig lady bit.
I like the song with the pigs.
Because the pigs are funny.
Yes. And then her. There's two songs. There's three songs that I like. Two blew me away. The one with the girl porcupine. Like she was doing a rock song.
Scarlett Johansson.
Was that her?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, she
was. You've seen it how many times? You don't know who plays who?
Twice.
Keep going.
No, you're not finished yet.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. I saw it twice. But what? I really enjoyed it. And by the end, when the two pigs are singing it's in the kitchen. She's singing a Taylor Swift song, and I'm going, okay, you're hooked. I'm hooked here.
But it's a catchy pop song.
Right, it's a catchy pop song, which I'm liking, and I'm going, I'm looking at the pig singing a catchy pop song. I'm enjoying it. I can't help it.
But you look at La La Land, where he wrote all the old music,
second time.
Songs. But of course, it's a little giddy cartoon, so you're all into it.
Of course, I was in this. I was in La La Land.
Warm, bomb heart. Ooh, look at me! I'm warm. I must like it.
Done.
And I'm like, well, Moana blows this away.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done.
I don't care. You're done.
I'm not done.
Back with you.
Can I finish, please?
I was not finished talking.
Then finish talking.
I'm done.
Okay, Kevin.
How was the movie?
See Moana, skip Sing.
No, see both of them.
And can you get back to us on this then, Kevin?
Actually, he's got to see three movies. He's got to see Moana, La La Land, and Sing.
Kevin, you there?
He's there. He's sleeping.
Kevin, wake up. I think we lost Kevin.
Did we lose Kevin?
Okay.
He's there.
Okay. So are you going to watch Sing and Moana and get back to us?
And La La Land.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Passengers.
Passengers,
directed by Mortem Kylund. Where are you in your list? You usually could read these better than I can.
I see Passengers, directed by Morten Tildum, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, Michael Sheen, Lawrence Fishburne, Andy Garcia, Kara Flowers, and Julie Serta.
Okay. Who is Kara Flowers and Julie Serta in this movie? Like, one of them has to be her friend.
I didn't bother with a friend. One is, you know when they get out in your face when you're waking up?
Yes.
I think one of them is her.
Kara, on the computer?
Yeah, on the computer. He wakes up and he sees her talking to him. And he says, hi, whatever. And you'll be experiencing, like, sickness, dizziness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It says, scan your thing and that's her.
Okay.
Passengers. Which I've seen twice.
Oh my God. Kevin, me and Bob saw this on Boxing Day.
I saw it after that with someone else.
Our annual Boxing Day movie together, which we've been doing for a few years now.
Oh.
Had to see this in 3D. There was no other option. Why this is in 3D? No idea. Did it pop?
It needs to be.
Nope. Was there any reason? Yeah, maybe at the end. That's a nice space shot. That's about it. I enjoy Passengers.
Yep.
What you see in the trailer is pretty much what you get. And Michael Sheen I quite enjoy.
Yes, he was good.
And are you even going to see this, Kevin?
Yes, he should.
Probably not.
Like, there's nothing to it. Chris Pratt wakes up. He gets bored. He wakes up Jennifer Lawrence. They fall for each other, blah, blah, blah.
Hold on, you missed the part. The reason he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence is because he's alone.
He's bored.
He's bored. He was going to kill himself.
Yes. He decides to wake up Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
And then Michael Sheen...
took him a year to do it.
...tells her finally that he woke her up.
Yes, and she got mad at him.
And she got mad at him for taking away her life. And then Michael Sheen...
Oh, you forgot that it was a 120-year trip.
It was 120 years so they made the next move. So there's nothing, he was dead anyway. And then partway through the movie, magically, Lawrence Fishburne wakes up.
He could have said something for all I care.
So by this point, you're like, oh, okay, maybe something will finally happen, because nothing's happened for the first hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look, Lawrence Fishburne's up. Let's make something happen to the ship, because he's the captain. He'll figure it out.
No, it was happening to the ship when he wakes up. That's the reason he woke up.
Well, he woke up because of the meteor going through the ship.
Right, earlier. And they had all these...
But until he shows up, nothing happens with the ship.
That you're aware of.
That we're aware of.
But you did get a little beep that it says cascade, that it said failure.
Yeah, but for a year, nothing happens with the ship. I find that a little hard to believe.
Okay.
So magically, Lauren Fishburne shows up and... Boom! Oh no, we gotta finish the movie!
Well, he also dies too, so, because they woke him up without her waking up for
scissors. No, because his pod was failing.
Right.
Is why he died. He didn't wake him up.
No.
He woke up on his own.
Yes.
And then, Cap, the end of this movie, they've created a whole forest for everybody else to play in.
Oh.
Like, it's just like, this is a big snooze.
That's not a snooze. You were awake.
Well, I didn't have to go to the bathroom and have a nap like somebody else who had to go see it a second time. And like Darth Vader snorting beside me. Partway through the movie.
It didn't happen.
It did happen.
No, it did not happen.
You know, whatever. Anyway. I'll take a photo of you next time.
All right, take a photo.
Kevin, man, why does these films get made?
Oh. I know.
Like, there's no point. And they made me pay more money in 3D. I'm upset.
I'm upset, too.
The writing was on the wall on this one to stay away from it.
Yeah, you call this perfectly. It's a big snooze fest.
Let's hire the two biggest actors in Hollywood and throw them in a science fiction movie.
Well, and I mean, I was interested in seeing this because I love Jennifer Lawrence. I like Chris Pratt. So yeah, they caught me there. But I had no other options of what to see. There was nothing else out. The only other option was La La Land, but Bob had already seen it. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go see La La Land.
I've seen
it again. And Moonlight was playing, and same problem I have. I would have gone to see Manchester by Sea, but it never got released out here. Right, that pisses me off. And The Factor still hasn't come out.
No.
It was supposed to come out in the summer.
Yes.
So I'm getting annoyed.
Yes.
All right, let's finally get to a movie that Kevin has seen.
I don't know if there's such a thing.
Have you seen Hunt for the Wilderness People? Directed
Wilder People. You keep doing it.
Wilder People, directed by Tita Wati?
No, it's New Zealand, so it's Wilder People.
Oh, Wilder People. I was right.
You said no, like you said Wilderness.
Oh,
Wilderness. Try again. You're still wrong.
At least I've seen it.
I don't have Netflix. Sorry. Lose.
You know, Bob could afford Netflix if he stopped seeing Sing 8 times in theaters.
You know, Bob, you could convert $10 that you spent on seeing La La Land twice, and you could have paid for Netflix.
Actually, I saw La La Land the first time for free.
And did you buy popcorn?
No. No, I didn't.
Second time? No. Okay. Sing, did you buy popcorn on any visit?
Probably.
There you go.
Maybe a slice of pizza. Or a hot dog and... those chippy things.
For like $8.
Probably.
And you could have sold Netflix for the month.
All right.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, starring Sam Neill, Julian Demsman, Rachel House, Oscar Knightley, and Rima... Knightley.
There's no N.
Well, why don't you read the damn list and sit there like a little pumpkin going, big grin on your face when you screw up.
Because it happens so often, I enjoy it.
Okay, Kev, go ahead. Cap, your turn.
This kid.
Yeah, the kid's right.
This is this big kid who has trouble at fitting in. He's sent to a foster home.
What do you mean?
I stole my screen. In the new Zealand wilderness. So it's a couple. And, anyway, she's very enthusiastic, and the husband is kind of like, ugh, whatever. Get out of my way. Anyway, something happens to her, and they decide to go live in the wild.
Well, she dies.
Right.
And they decide to go in the wild.
Spoiler.
Because he doesn't want to, the guy just doesn't want to deal with anybody. He doesn't like people. That's why they live out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. And they know that the people from the Children's Aid, whatever, will take him away.
Correct.
He likes living there, and he's found a place that he finally fits in.
Well, they accept him there. It took a while, but they did accept him.
Right.
And I this movie made me laugh, laugh, and laugh.
It was funny.
That scene in the cabin with the two guys, and he goes, you know, he does his thing, I do my thing, and sometimes he makes me pull his to do his thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I was crying the whole scene, Kevin. And that woman from Children's Aid that kept showing up? The woman that kept... she was making me laugh every time she was on screen.
Was Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive or something?
Yeah, that's her. I thought this movie was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. A must-see for this year.
But they like all the famous outlaws in the wild.
Oh, it was they've hysterical. Been up for months.
And they just go wandering around and anyway.
When he hurt his leg and he has to go find the girl and he falls in love with her, I was crying. I know who you are. You're on the news. I'm not going to write you out. You want a sausage?
Yeah. Hey, look, it's this guy. Let's take a selfie.
It was so funny. I was just like, this is fantastic. Because that's what would happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to report that kid? Nobody. You know?
I heard good things about it. And for some people, it's on their top 10 list of the year. I don't know about that, but it was a fun couple of hours. To me, this is like a good movie you could show your kids.
Oh, my daughter would have loved it. My daughter would have cried at this movie. I think I will show it to her at some point.
So I think I recommend it to someone that their kid might watch it with them, and they might like it. It's like The Gods Must Be Crazy. Do you remember that movie?
I love it. It's the number two for that I've never seen.
Yeah, I've never seen number two. But basically, a guy finds a Coke bottle, and he thinks it's a sign from a god. So he goes on a walkabout to try to find it. The Secret of the Coke Bottle.
Oh, is this a hysterical movie?
Yeah.
And they can talk like that, and people understand them. I think that's awesome.
But it's like, you know, just one of those, you know, from a different point of view, you know, you get a different look at reality, and it puts things into a better perspective.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie. Absolutely fantastic. I like finding these little gems every once in a while. Actually, I saw this a long time ago because somebody recommended it to me. I saw it months ago.
What, The Wilder People?
Yeah, The Wilder People. Made me laugh my ass off so hard. Okay, another film I saw ages ago coming up next. Elvis Nixon.
That was Elvis versus Nixon, or Elvis and Nixon?
Elvis and Nixon.
Directed by Eliza Johnson. Stars Michael Shannon as Elvis and Kevin Spacey as Nixon. Alex Pettifer, Colin Hanks, Johnny Knoxville, Evan Peters, Sky Ferreira, Ashley Benson, Alina O'Reilly. What did you think of Elvis and Nixon?
Well, you didn't watch it. You only had about 6 months to see it, so I guess it's still in your pile. I thought it was okay. I thought the best scene of the movie is finally when Elvis meets Nixon.
Yeah.
I thought those scenes were hysterical. When they go through them, now, don't drink the president's Dr. Pepper. Don't eat the president's M&M's or whatever it is on the table.
Yeah.
Elvis just walks in, cracks open the Dr. Pepper, starts eating his stuff.
I love M&M's.
I love M&M's. Oh, I brought your present. Well, where is it? They took it away from me. Go get his present! I thought that whole little section was great.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon did not work for me as Elvis at all.
I thought he had an earnestness to him that I would expect Elvis to have.
Yeah,
Elvis he was in the right.
I liked Elvis needed a badge. That's why he went there. He wanted to be an undercover.
Mm-hmm.
That was just bizarre.
The way I see it, I work with a lot of hippie radicals.
I don't know. Did a movie need to be made about this? I sometimes wonder at times.
So my answer would be yes.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very good movie. And it's a fun movie. And it was one of those things where, you know, we've had Frost Nixon. We've had other looks at the Watergate scandal, you know, All the President's Men, things like that. But to me, this humanizes two figures that we knew that they met, and we knew that it was a weird meeting, And it's not like it's a secret. I mean, everybody knows Elvis came to him. He wanted to be deputized. And it's one of those stories that is kooky, but you don't believe it happened. But it's sort of like, to me, it was like a look back at that era. It was a look back at the early 70s. What was life like back in the early 70s? You know, celebrity and political fame and all these things going on. And I thought that the two chewed up the scenery.
Oh, 100%. There was a lot of scenery to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That was constant. I don't know. I didn't do enough for me. I liked the film, but I just didn't love the film.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was okay. I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say.
Well, I liked it. I would recommend it if you wanted something fun for a couple hours.
Yeah, but I would recommend The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
I think it's a better film, so.
Next movie on the list is The Conjuring 2, which I thought we'd done months ago, but I guess not.
No, because nobody else had seen it but me. You even see
I saw it when it came out.
I read it on your list. I'm like, we never reviewed that.
Well, it's directed by James Wan, stars Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, Frances O'Connor, Franca Potente, Madison Wolfe, Lauren Esposito, and Maria Doyle Kennedy. So, there's a very famous case of hauntings, poltergeist, in the UK in the 70s, the late 70s, involving a family. And it's a documented case. And it crosses over into this with these, the couple pair of paranormal, the husband and wife paranormal investigators from the first Conjuring movie. And so, I mean, this purports to be from their secret files, and I think it's a movie. I mean, you have to take it as this is a movie loosely based on something that may not have happened.
Correct.
And I think it was sensationalized for the sake of being entertainment.
I agree.
I think the couple are an interesting pair to base a bunch of films on. And I can't remember their real names anymore because I'm not. Anyway, I didn't do the research, but I like The Conjuring, and I like The Conjuring too, and I like the setup, and I like the fact that they have faith in what they're doing, and I like how the whole thing went about. I mean, with the kids and the poltergeist and the discovering the stuff in the basement and. Nobody believed them and all that. So, I mean, I don't know. What did you think of it?
Again, I just thought it was minorly okay. You know, like Ed and Lorraine pulled the same crap they did last movie. I mean, I just have a lot of problems with these movies. They don't do anything for me. Like, I don't find them scary. I don't find them overly interesting, but I find them interesting enough to keep hold my attention.
You didn't see this in a movie theater with an audience, did you?
No, I saw it at home.
Right.
So is that my problem? I should have saw it in the movie theater?
Probably.
I think these movies have to be seen in a theater where your full attention is on the screen.
I can get that, because I'm not sidetracked at home, because the kid could ask me a question, phone could ring, I have to go to the bathroom, I get it.
I think there were some good scares in this movie, and I think that's what you really want. You want a creepy setup. I thought the Marilyn Manson nun ghost was pretty scary.
That's what I was about to say. The Marilyn Manson nun ghost was good.
Yeah.
I thought that was excellent.
And the scene where they're in her home, and she, realized...
Oh, those nuts?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty solid. Like I said, I didn't love it, I didn't hate it. I was kind of in the middle on it. I think it's watchable. I think James Wan is a very competent horror director. I love Insidious 1.
And I think Wan tries to tie together with the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
And Ed and Lorraine were only mildly associated with the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, there's five films for that, and I've never seen any of them.
But yeah.
That's not the first one.
So one day I'll get to them. You know me. One day I'll sit down and watch them all.
Right.
I think as a franchise it will continue. I think this made money. But I thought the first film was much better.
Really? I thought this was as good.
I thought it was, okay, that's fine. I can accept that.
The house and the woman who was a witch and she hung herself on the tree in the backyard.
Well, that scared the bejesus out of me, that film.
This one with the old man in the chair, and then they played the actual recording as people were leaving through the theater over the end credit, they played the actual recording
of the girl as hell.
Talking through with the ghost speaking through her.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, is it real or not? Is it a fake or is it a real thing? I don't know. It's up to you.
I have no idea.
But yeah. I like this quite a lot.
Well,
I like the movie.
Okay. Next up, Kev?
Next movie on the list is The Neon Demon, which is directed by Nicholas Wending Refn of Drive fame. It stars Elle Fanning, Jenna Malone, Christina Hendricks, Keanu Reeves, Carl Glusman, Abby Lee, and Bella Heathcote. And, I don't know, to me, this is like a bad 70s horror movie. I didn't like the setup, I didn't like the resolution, and I thought the ending was just stupid.
Thank you, Kevin.
Did you see this one, Bob?
I saw it last night, by the end of it, I'm going, I hate this, and I'm going... But, like, I started to watch it, and I'm going, okay, Elle Fanning, this might be good. Because I saw her in, oh, gosh, what was that movie? We Bought a Zoo, right? I liked her in that. And I'm, yeah. Yes, I know.
We Bought a Zoo?
Well, it's like, We Bought a Zoo, 180 degrees forward. And I'm going, looking at this, and I'm going, okay, she's a model. I'm going, started watching it, and I go, okay, this could be good. And then by the end, I'm going, I don't think so. Thankfully, it's the 2016 movie. It can go on my top 10 worst.
I am my worst list of films. Wow. I thought the acting was terrible. I thought some people claim that it's one of the greats. It's about fame. It's about seeking things out and eventually they consume their enemy. But Jenna Malone, what was her deal?
I think she was in love with Elle Fanning's character.
She was. I think that was.
But sort of, you know, lying nude on her grave at the end, you know, and all that stuff. Like, at her unmarked grave.
I missed that.
She rejects them, and she's going to be famous, and she's got everything. But she rejects Jenna's sexual advances.
Yeah.
And then the other two who have been... The one girl in particular who hates her, they decide they're going to capture her and kill her, and it seems that they ate her.
Yeah. Yes. But what was the end scene? This is, I have to get rid of her because apparently she throws up an eyeball. I'm going, oh.
The first thing is Jenna's outside walking around, and she goes and waters, and then she lies on the earth, and the earth is... She's lying on the unmarked grave of where they put what was left. Okay, and then they go to the chute. And the one girl says, I killed and ate the woman who was in my way the last time.
Yeah.
And you think, haha, that's funny. But no, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They consumed her.
And then the one girl throws up an eyeball, and then the other girl eats the
eyeball. Yeah. Can't do it.
Oh.
Which, as she kills herself.
Yes.
Like, well, what does she do? She jabs something to her. But it's like right out of a bad horror movie.
Yes.
Wow, I have to funnel. I love this movie, Kevin.
Oh,
you love this movie?
Totally bizarre. I'm so into it. I thought the colors popped for me. The storyline was just totally bizarre. I'm like, this is fun.
Started out fun.
Absolutely
by the end of it,
loved it all.
You know what this movie reminds me of is Suspiria.
Which I've never seen. I know the film, but I've never seen it. I just liked it. I like weird, weird movies. I think you guys know that.
Yes.
So I like the eyeball scene. I like the Jenna Malone. I don't know if it was ever supposed to make any sense. It could have been all a dream.
Isn't Suspiria with Dario Argento?
Yes, you've seen
I've
it.
I've seen it.
You saw it at the Light Box. Not Light Box.
Yeah. I saw it in Montreal.
You saw it at the box,
Chicago.
The music box in Chicago.
Yes.
At 11 o'clock at night, and I went to bed.
You went to bed, and then I saw it together.
I don't know. I have to disagree with you guys. The film, I absolutely loved it.
Oh, wow.
Like, you guys are saying top 10 worst. I would put this on my top 15. No problems.
I loathed this movie. I thought this was a piece of crap.
I absolutely disagree. I absolutely loved it.
I'm agreeing with Kevin.
I like the acting. I like the strange. I like her getting eaten at the end. I just thought it was bizarre.
What the fuck was Keanu Reeves doing there as the slimy landlord and the
That tenant? Made no sense. No. I will give you that made no sense what Keanu Reeves was doing there.
And the mountain lion is in her freaking hotel room?
Yeah, it was a little bizarre. Like I said, it was bizarre. I think it's all just supposed to be a trippy dream.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to make sense.
And then the photographer who's in love with her.
Yeah, she tried hard to save her.
Yeah.
Right.
She got rid of him, too. She says, well, let me
Well, she's on her rise to fame. She's got to leave the little people.
Yeah.
And that's what the movie's about. You got to eat everything standing in your way. I don't know. I liked it.
Okay.
I did not.
That's okay. I knew this would be a bone of contention, so.
Mike and Dave need wedding dates. Director Jake Zemanski stars Zac Efron, Adam Devine, Anna Kendrick, my favorite Aubrey Plaza, Stephanie Farrisee, Stephen Root, Sugar Lynn Beard, and Alice Wetterland. So, what can be said about Mike and Dave need wedding dates except that it was stupid?
It was so stupid. Lately I've seen Zac Efron do bad movies. Dirty Grandpa being one of them. This one's another one. I was watching this. They're saying, okay, the parents are talking to them and say, you guys ruined everything. Every other time, every other party we've ever had. I'm looking back. I'm going, okay, this may be okay. By the end of it, I'm going, I don't care. It was like I just didn't want to see this anymore. But I continued and I watched it.
I think this movie's a big fun. Blaming it. Crap. I never laughed once, Kevin. I love it.
Actually, neither did I.
Love Audrey Plaza. I found nothing funny.
Actually, no. There was one part where I found a little bit.
You sure you were not singing again?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was like when they're on those ATVs.
And he goes flying off?
He goes flying. No, that's not the part I found funny. He goes flying off, hits his sister in the face. That's the only part I found mildly amusing. It wasn't funny, but it was sort of like you see her after and goes, yeah.
I thought the massage scene wasn't bad.
That was cute.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, this movie I thought was going to be funny.
Well, that's what I thought, and it wasn't.
Like, Kevin, do they not know how to make funny comedies anymore?
Yeah.
Zac Efron seems to be sleepwalking through the same role all these movies. Dirty Grandpa, Neighbors 2.
But he's in Baywatch.
Baywatch seems to be another extension of the same thing. And you know what? He's likable. I like the guy. I think he's kind of funny. And I think he's actually kind of funny in this movie.
Neighbors 2, the other guy
I don't like. I didn't find him was funny. I thought he was annoying. He was meant to be annoying.
Yeah.
There was nothing redeeming about him.
No, nothing.
I'm divine.
Anna Kendrick, I like, but I didn't quite like her in this movie. And Aubrey Plaza, I love, and I'd rather rewatch Dirty Grandpa because she's just
smoking hot in Dirty Grandpa.
Dirty as anything in that movie. But you know, like this movie was kind of meh. It's not anything like Wedding Crashers or anything good. So I don't know.
It was never funny. That was the problem for me. It wasn't like another dull comedy.
Right. So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't either. Bob?
So, what do you want to do? I think the movie and the video vault we keep pushing because Joe wanted to be there for it.
Well, should we just do it?
I can't hear you.
You want to just do it?
No, let's save it for him.
Okay, then let's do our last movie on the list, Late Bloomers.
Have we reviewed Sing Street? I guess we did, right?
We did. We all loved it. I don't think Bob has seen it yet.
I saw it after you guys talked about it. I loved it.
Late Bloomers, Kevin. Should I pull it up?
Late bloomers, okay. I'm trying to remember the cat's
the
talk
only
here.
One I can remember. I watched it yesterday for you. I sat, nobody was home last night, so I finally had time to watch Late Bloomers with Johnny Simmons, Blake Cooper, Maria Bello, Charlotte McKinney, Kumar Ninja, I can't even say his name, Nanija, and J.K. Simmons again. And that was it, Paul Wesley.
So, Late Bloomers, is that the one about the guy that has the problem with testosterone?
That's the movie.
Okay.
An R-rated comedy, Kevin, you sent me to watch.
Yes. It was on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see why it was on Netflix. The guy plays basketball and gets hit in the head. He goes to the hospital.
This is not...
Pardon?
This is Late Bloomer. So there's another movie called Late Bloomers.
Okay, well, this is the one I watched, the right one. I know I did.
It's the story of an adult who's like a sex therapist.
That's it. This is the movie.
Dealing with their sexual problems.
Correct.
But he has a benign tumor that's been resting against pituitary gland, so he didn't experience puberty like everybody else, and he's never had actual sex.
Correct.
They remove it, and all of a sudden, boom, he has erections and everything. And it's directed by Kevin Pollak. From Two Good Men and The Comedian.
I know him, yes.
Okay, so this was not funny.
Okay, good. Because I thought it was absolutely horrible.
It was really bad.
Oh, Jane Lynch is in it too.
Huh? Yes, as his boss at the sex therapy
clinic.
And it's
never funny. Not one joke I laughed at.
No, it was not funny.
I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Like, usually I make a joke or I laugh at something. Never broke a smile on my face.
Right.
I thought this was an absolutely painful Netflix chunk. Uh-oh.
Right.
So, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Why do you watch these films? To torture me?
Yep.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. You're just like, Simon will have to watch this if I watch it.
I'm trying to know where I know this guy from.
Johnny Simmons?
So many things.
He's in a bunch of movies. He's in that... Oh, what's her face? Megan Fox movie. When she's diamond. Who's in that one?
He was in The Sphere. Oh, you know what he was in? He was in that Greek classic Hotel for Dogs.
Well, that was on Bob's Top 10 list.
Yes. He's also in Scott Pilgrim. He was young whatever.
See, Bob, we're going back to your Hotel for Dogs Top 10 list.
Let's... forget that.
Oh, that's never going to be forgotten.
You know what's amazing? This movie came out in October, and I think I watched it on Netflix in December.
I watched it last night.
So, it's something to be avoided for sure.
Oh, it's absolutely awful. Did you guys buy anything?
Yes.
I did.
What did you buy, Bob?
I was going to buy Sing Street. I bought... what was that movie? It was for $5. Gem and the Holograms, of all things. I'm going, because that, I just bought it. I'm going, okay, the music's there. It was for the music. Like you do it better.
The live action movie, Gem and the Holograms?
I paid money to see that in theaters with my daughter.
I got to see it for free.
She wanted to see it, Kevin.
I feel so bad.
It was painful. Was that this year?
Yes.
Oh, I think that might be my worst movie of the year.
Yes, it's my top 10 worst, believe me. But I bought it for the music.
I'm sitting there going, is this acting? This is bad.
Yes, it is.
Like, bad.
Yes.
Terrible.
Like, my daughter watches a lot of, like, bad preteen comedies.
Yes.
And this is exactly acted like a preteen comedy, stunk like a preteen comedy, and was as bad as a preteen comedy.
But yet it had a concept which he had nothing to do with.
Nothing to do with the show. Not a thing.
It was sort of a mystery. Her dad later left her clues saying, find this item, and then...
Like, what was the point of that? Some Scooby-Doo adventure?
Sure. Let's have a Scooby snack.
Oh, it was awful. Painful. So what else did you buy, Bob?
I thought I bought something else, but I can't remember. Oh.
Who's that kid?
I can't remember.
Kevin?
I haven't bought anything. Honestly, I think I bought, you know, maybe around the holidays, I got Star Trek Beyond on digital. So that I can have that movie available. And that was about it.
That sounds not like...
John Wick for $5.
Oh, that's a better purchase than Gem of the Holograms.
I actually did get the Star Wars movies, but that was before Christmas. I think before we did our last thing, I got that. But no, I haven't bought anything because, when I go into video stores and I look at DVDs and Blu-rays, I'm like, I don't want to spend the money anymore on this stuff. I've got Netflix, TMN, all the stuff. Like, I saw Gods of Egypt last night, which you guys have reviewed, I believe, right? If we haven't, then I can talk about it in a future episode.
Yeah, we can. But I'll double check for the next one.
I'll have to watch it.
I've seen it.
Of course you have.
But, you know, like, that kind of thing. So I'm just like, there's enough stuff out there. And I saw the documentary on Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds as well.
Oh, the HBO thing?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to be watching that?
I guess so.
Bright Light something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll watch it if you tell me to.
Well, it's worth watching.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I can't say I've seen a lot of movies because I've been sick, but I've been watching stuff at home. So...
You didn't watch the O.J. movie?
The People versus O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It was a 3-part TV miniseries.
Yeah, I don't know. They're saying it's a movie, though. I don't know if I'm supposed to watch it or not.
I've seen it. I watched it when it was on, but it was a documentary. It was over three nights.
So it's not a movie?
It's a documentary.
Okay, so I don't need to watch it. I don't watch docs, so very rarely. Yes, you do. Very few docs.
What about Hairspray Live? That was on TV a while ago.
What's that going to do with the movie?
It's a movie. It was a movie.
Really. It's a TV special.
Okay.
It was on TV. It wasn't the movie theater.
No,
it's like that Rocky Horror Picture Show fiasco they tried to pause off to be do.
Yeah, they also did Grease Live. I
watched Grease Live.
I bought that.
Why?
To see it.
Did you watch it with all?
Yeah.
You buy some strange things, sir.
Thank you.
You PVR'd it.
Yes.
So why did you not buy it?
Because I deleted it after I PVR'd it, after I watched it.
How much did that soak you for?
$5. No, 12? Five? 12?
I don't know. Okay. Kevin?
Uh-oh.
Yes?
Are we just destined to see most movies in the $5 bin?
Yes.
Are we disgusted to see most movies in the $5 bin?
No, is that where they're all headed now? All DVDs and Blu-rays headed for the $5
bin?
They
will be eventually because... Like,
well, it's funny to see... There's suddenly like a big devaluation of movies on digital formats. I mean, not non-digital, like non-cloud formats, like DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff like that. I think Blu-ray 4K is a non-starter. I think that it's only real extreme people are getting excited about that. But there's a movie.
Hold on.
What?
Every new TV you buy is 4K.
Right.
And all you gotta buy is a 4K cable at what, $50? And you gotta buy a player is about $300. How is it a non-starter? I mean, if you wanted to, you could start.
No, I think people aren't going to go and buy movies over and over again in the next level of format. I'm tired of rebuying the same shit. I've gone through 3 or 4 different formats and built movie collections. I'm not doing it again. I've had it. Blu-ray is the end of it. At the most, I'm just going to continue collecting movies in my digital clouds.
Well, then because I never bought a Blu-ray player. I stopped the DVD and said, I'm done. That's it. No more.
Yeah, I went with Blu-ray, and now that I've got Blu-ray, I'm like, you know what? I don't want Blu-ray 4K. I don't want it again. I'm not doing this for another round.
Can you answer a real question? If I get a 4K disc, does it play in a Blu-ray player, or I have to get a 4K player?
I have to get a 4K player.
That's what I thought.
Right. And so if you have, like, a Microsoft Xbox One S or a PlayStation, whatever the most recent one is, then I think you can play 4K Blu-rays in it. And you can do 3D Blu-rays if you have a 3D converter on your TV.
I have a 4K TV.
Does that have a 3D option?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Maybe.
Most now are ditching the 3D option.
I don't think it does.
So 3D become a thing of the past.
Now my question is, if I get 4K Netflix, am I good to go? I don't need a cable or anything. Because Netflix is built into the TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need anything special.
Going back to your original question, though, about the $5 bins.
Yes.
We've seen when Best Buy took over Future Shop, Best Buy got rid of all their CDs and all their DVDs. You see them now you still see them in HMV, but HMV closed the store in the Eaton Center. They still have stores, they still have the main store on Queen and Young.
For how much longer, though?
I don't know. HMV still exists in Scarborough Town Center. It still exists in Fairview Mall.
And Pickering.
And Pickering and Oshawa. But actually, Oshawa also has another DVD place. But anyway, the new expansion part of the Oshawa Center.
I didn't see a DVD store in there.
Yeah. Sunrise Music or something?
I must have missed it because I brought my daughter and her friend, so I probably was more focused on where
told,
they were.
I was told it was there. By the
I'm not saying it's not there.
I still have to go, but what was I searching for here? Okay, but I went into Walmart, and usually they usually have big sections of the new movies are fairly new, and then a bin of $5 movies. Or
they're
actually,
right at the front.
They had two or three bins. And now it's down to, in one store, it's down to one bin of $5 movies. I shouldn't have been shocked at that, because it was 2016, Gem and the Holograms should have started out at 12. It was right in the $5 bin for $5. I'm going,
They couldn't sell it for 12.
No. But it's the only time I saw it. It's the only time I ever saw it. And then other movies are moving into there, because, look, where is it? In Walmart at Scarborough Town Center has a bigger section of older movies, like for $5, than they do of the new movies. Like they have like half a row now, or half the wall section.
Well, because people spend $5 is nothing to people.
Yeah.
Don't you find that, Kevin?
Walmart has the spinner, which has got the new stuff on it.
They don't have that here. I have shelves with them on them.
So if you look near in your AV section, in the corridor in front of it, there should be two spinner racks with four sides on it. One would be for video games. One would be for DVDs and Blu-rays.
I'll look for it. My location just has a $5 bin of video games, or maybe it's a $10 bin. I've never really looked. And beside that, it has newer releases. You're right. I have a four-side cardboard something.
Yes.
DVDs in. That's what you mean. Yes, I do have that. And then there's one bit of Blu-ray and one bit of DVD beside it.
Yeah. So the spinner, one side is kids, one side is kind of fairly new release stuff.
Yeah.
And is brand new that week.
You're absolutely right. I do have that.
Stuff is moving quickly through those four sides because they're not ordering every movie that comes out. Only the big releases, only certain things. Stuff moves into the discount bins much faster now because people are not buying. And then they'll have discount rows. They'll have discount sections where you'll see Batman versus Superman, which started out at $25. Now it's $20. In a couple weeks, it'll be $15. It'll be $10 by the spring. You know, it's just the cycle of life.
Well,
they'll just keep it down.
What's driving me nuts, a year ago or even 6 months, I could pick up 100 DVDs for under 10 bucks. On bidding wars and all those garage sale sites. And recently I've noticed now that same 100 movies, $50-$60. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I thought this format was dead.
What you're starting to see all of a sudden, and I noticed this, like, BMV has a new section now, which is rare and out of print video.
Right.
So the thing is that while we all may love our Netflix and TMN and stuff like that, is that films go out of circulation on these things.
Correct.
They take them on and they take them off. And so when they're off, we, you know, we think to ourselves, why should we get this? Why should I buy Captain America Civil War? It's on Netflix. I'll watch it as many times as I want. And then it's gone. And you're like, oh, shit, you know what? I should have gotten a copy of Captain America Civil War.
Well, can't you download off Netflix now?
You can, but again, it's the same thing. You could leave it on your device forever. But as I said, Netflix removes things.
Yeah, they do. They post it, what they're removing every month.
So some things are not available anymore.
Okay.
Well, basically, they come out with, like you said, in DMV, they have a section of, like, this would be for me, and you probably, because you go in and look at DMV movies and pick up the ones you're really interested in. So it would be something right. like you and I would do. Simon, not so much.
So I went in there the other day, and I said, oh, look, there's Miss Peregrine's Home for whatever. I haven't seen that. $25 used. No, I'm not buying that for $25. That's like I can buy it for new.
$25 used?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm like, forget that. So in a couple of weeks, I'll go in there and it'll be $15, and then it'll be $5 or whatever. It'll eventually just be $10 or $8.99 or $7.99, whatever they sell them for.
Well, that's what I'm looking for now is the ones that they sell for under $8. I go to HMV and Walmart and whatever, and that's what I look for, is the ones that are under $10.
Well, BMV now has $4 Blu-rays, 3 for $10.
Hmm.
And I won't buy them. I'm like, nope, I'll find them cheaper.
So,
well, I'd be interested because they always have the extras that you didn't get in the DVD parts.
There's a growing, and it happened with DVD before, is that as films are not available, not out in any other formats, you can't get a digital download of it, the only place to get it is this locked-in DVD from 30 years ago, suddenly those DVDs are shooting up in price and have collector market value. Like, I was talking with a friend of mine tonight, and he's like, he wants to get Walt Disney, one of those, you know the Walt Disney Treasures collections that came out in the tins?
I do have them.
Whole bunch of them, but he wants one about Walt Disney. It's $650 on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
And that's the cheapest you can find it anywhere on the internet. Oh. Another one, which I think I have, which is Walt Disney Rarities.
You do?
It's $900.
So why don't you sell it?
Why would anybody pay $900 for a DVD?
Who cares? Sell the damn thing, Kevin. $900.
Right.
I'll fire that thing out of my house tomorrow.
That's you. You don't want to keep movies.
For $900 for a DVD that I could rip digitally, dump on my computer, burn myself my own copy, and sell it for $900? See you later.
Okay, but if you didn't have that option that you could copy it.
Kevin, how many times you watched this film?
I don't know. I don't know if I've even watched it once.
There's my point. That answered my question. Fire that thing out, Kevin. It's time for it to go. Okay, anything else, guys, or is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay, I'm Simon.
Intern.
Kevin.
And everybody have a nice, happy day.
We'll be back with our next episode. It'll be our best of the year.